Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Hi, I am your host, Barbara Archer. I come to you this evening from Real Women Real Talk. Thank you so much for tuning in to another broadcast. This evening, I'm very excited to have this incredible woman in the studio with me. Her name is Kimberly Hart. She is the author of Get Love, How to Transform Your Love Life. And I know we can all get some pointers in that particular area. I know for myself, I definitely need some pointers. And I'm just excited to have Kimberly Hart with me this evening. And I just thank you all for listening and tuning in this evening and taking out your time. Just be advised that tonight I will be back on the broadcast at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on the other radio platform under Nearcom Television Productions. You do not want to miss that episode as well. But anyway, without further ado, I just want to introduce you all to Kimberly Hart, Get Love, How to Transform Your Love Life. Thank you so much, Kimberly, for being here this evening. I so appreciate you.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Okay. Well, I just want to just start off by, first of all, just thanking you so much for being here, you know. And I know this is a true story of your life, part one of Get Love, and readers follow two lovers blossoming intimacy step by step, learning how they risk their lives to make their relationship work. But I just want you to just give us some insight into what makes Get Love different, you know, than other help relationship books that are out there, because there's a lot of books out there that speaks about love, relationships, how to get your groove back, and so many different things. And sometimes there's a lot of documentaries, there's a lot of movies. But what makes Get Love different than other books that is out there today that we can actually use to help us in our relationships as women?
Get Love is different because on two points. One, as you mentioned, the first half of the book is a real life love story. I opened up my heart and love letters that Adam and I wrote to each other. And from hello to what happened in the relationship, you are my best friend. And I share with you through my love letters exactly what Adam and I did. And you have a chance to sit back because you're not the one involved in it. You have a chance to sit back and go, oh, look at that. And, whoa, she really fell on her face there. And, oh, my God, a man really says things like that? So you have that perspective. And because you're not involved in it and because it's a real love story, we didn't change a thing. We gave you all the light and all the down-in-the-mud stuff. You get to go, whoa, people really do that. But the real reason it is different is because all good relationships book, all good business books these days have one major point, and that is your life is created by what you believe, not what you think, not what your patterns are, not what you feel, by what you believe, and those beliefs are programmed in your subconscious mind. In fact, there's two fabulous books that outline the biochemistry of it. The one that just came out, it's called The Honeymoon Effect, and it talks about the biochemistry of beliefs. But what I do is I get down to the nitty-gritty and I say, sure, okay, it's easy to say in one sentence, your reality, your life is created by what you believe. But now what? Okay, I'm not going to argue the point anymore, but now what? What Get Love does is it walks you through how to change that belief, how to really, in four steps, how to change, because unless you change how you're wired inside, and most of us were wired before we were 7 years old. So think about that. Right. You're 7 years old, and their belief is running your love life. So probably all of us need to go inside and rewrite our script on what it is that we want as far as love is concerned, and those are called beliefs. And the only way to change a belief is to have an epiphany, a download from the divine, where you can wait for that, or you can sit down on the kitchen table with your best friend and you can change your belief.
So you would definitely say that a lot of times in love, in relationships, there has to be a transformation how we process things in our mind, because a lot of it has to, or would you say some of it has to do with our perspective that we have?
Sure. It's about your attitudes, your beliefs, your feelings, but all of those are predicated on what you believe. Because I can talk you into changing your attitude, and I can I can show you how to change your behavior, but that doesn't mean when the rubber hits the road, when you're really in the nitty-gritty of a relationship, that you won't go back to what you've always done or what they've always done. The only way to do that is to reprogram your beliefs, because your subconscious mind's like this computer. It has no opinion. If you believe love hurts, it will. If you believe men betray, they will. Whatever it is you believe, they will create, because your subconscious mind is so powerful. It's like a huge magnet. And whatever you believe, it pulls into your life. You have no option. So you're going along and everything is dandy, and this time you've chosen the guy that is different than every other guy, and then all of a sudden, 6 months into the relationship, he's exactly what you've been running from all this time. What is that? What it is really your subconscious mind waking up and going, oh, my goodness, I'm not following the boss's orders. I'm supposed to create a relationship where she gets hurt. I'm supposed to create a relationship where she's lonely and she rolls over and she goes, what the heck am I doing with this guy? I'm not doing my job. And right in front of your eyes, your relationship will change. That is how powerful your subconscious mind is. And it's not your enemy. It's your friend, because it will always do exactly, just like your laptop computer, it will do exactly what you say. You press the letter A, you get an A. You go into a relationship and you believe that love hurts, men betrays, my love's not good enough, love can't be trusted, men aren't trustable. Whatever you believe, your subconscious mind will make sure you get.
So if a person goes in and think, okay, well, this person, yes, well, I've always been hurt in relationships. I know this is not going to work out. If you say that long enough, you'll actually believe it. And then do you feel there is something, there's like some energy that comes from you that you will automatically attract those type of individuals because of the way how we process?
Wow. Right. See, it's not how you process, and it's not how you think. It is you process and think that way because the core of you mandates that. For instance, if you believe men betray, and you and I, we're looking really fine, and you and I go to a party, and we're scouting out the cool men in the room. Let's say there's 100 men. And we go into the room, and you will only be attractive to the one or two men who believe that women can't be trusted. And I will be attracted to the men who will never love me good enough. And none of the other men in the room we will even see. We won't give them the time of day, because our subconscious mind has delivered the orders that you gave it early in life that men can't be trusted or they won't love good enough. Whatever is true, because, see, the first step in the four-step process in the second half of Get Love is know what it is you want to change. So when I run retreats for women and we sit down and we go, okay, enough. We're not going to screw around here. We're going to actually change the beliefs that are in your way, so when you leave here, you can have the love you want. The first thing we do is really hone what belief you want to change. And in the book Get Love, the belief I walk you through and how to change for me was, no matter how hard I try, I will never find a man who loves me the way I want to be loved. Oh, there are men who will love me, but not the way I want to be loved. And so I create men who don't love me the way they want to be loved, and then they feel not good enough, and then, of course, that's the end of the relationship.
Wow.
And until
now,
I changed that belief, I was stuck.
Now, you talk about in your book a four-step process that includes recognize, acknowledge, forgive, and change. And I know that is something that you also speak about, and you facilitate that as well. How do we take those four steps and make positive changes in our lives in relationships? And I'm not meaning just relationships between a man and a woman, but also relationships on your job, because there is no way that you're going to be able to not have no form of relationships. But I believe that is when our relationship at home is not healthy, we tend to have unhealthy relationships with other people outside of our home. Is that something that you agree with?
Yes, I totally agree. See, we have our relationships, our beliefs. Let's do this. Let's break our beliefs into categories. We have beliefs about love. We have beliefs about our lovability. We have beliefs about our success. We have beliefs about money. We have beliefs about our body. We have beliefs about how old, that you're old at a certain age. We all have beliefs, okay? Now, what you do with the four steps is you choose just one of those beliefs and you learn how to change your belief by that one, because it's like playing tennis or any other type of sport. When you pick up a tennis racket, your tennis pro will try to bend your knees, tuck your butt under you, pull your arm back, keep the tennis racket parallel with the ground, perpendicular to the ground, and swing, and remember to follow through. Now, they'll tell you that 100 times until you do it without thinking. When you want to learn to change your beliefs, it takes that type of focus. Sit down, go open the book. I mean, you do not need to come to one of my seminars to do this. It's just more fun, and you've got me to do that. But the book is set up so that you can do it yourself. And the back of the book, I even give you step-by-step the closed-eyes process. First step, what do you want to change? Let's just take a general one. Love hurts. Okay, step one, you're already done with step one. You're a quarter of the way through. You believe love hurts, and it always does. And it hurts when you love someone at work. Your children hurt you. It doesn't make your mother hurt you. If you believe love hurts, every time you truly love, you will get hurt. That's really scary news. So let's say we now want to decide what you want to change it to. So let's say you want to change it to love heals. So that means every time you love, another piece of healing will come into you, and you will be more and more whole. Not that it's their job to fill the holes in you, because the problem is that most of us go into relationships like Swiss cheese, and we expect the other person to fill all those holes. But the love will heal you. Step two, figure out why you've clung to this belief that's been shattering your life all this time. And I give you seven questions. They're called payoffs. What's payoff? What are you getting? What are you getting by staying stuck? And when you tell yourself why you've done what you've done, you now know what you can forgive. And so you forgive that wounded part of you that's been trying to protect you in a way that doesn't work all of these years. And now you're already on the third step. You forgive yourself. And you can't just say, I forgive myself. That's really nice. But you and I both know that's just a lot of hogwash.
Right.
You have to really do the emotional work. And so I give you a close-eye visualization to do. And then the fourth step is to access your subconscious mind. And just like you were a computer programmer who knew how to use the zeros and ones to get the computer to operate differently, just like that, what we do is we go into the subconscious mind. We use all the symbols and all the sounds and all the colors the subconscious mind talks, because just like a computer doesn't speak English, your subconscious mind doesn't speak English. It speaks metaphor, focus, and intense feeling. If you do this without feeling, you're wasting your time. Let me say that again. If you do this without feeling, you are wasting your time, because one of the reasons your subconscious mind perks up its metaphoric ears and goes, oh, the boss has got new orders for me, is because you need to have intense focus, intense feeling, and make a choice. And you write into the book of beliefs, in this case, the metaphor we use in the meditation that's available to you, is you plant the new seeds of a new belief, and then you reinforce that. Just like when you plant a seed in your garden, you have to water it, you have to fertilize it, same with beliefs. You change the belief, and then you start changing how you think about love, and your life will change in front of your eyes. I promise you, I know that's true, because I'm my biggest guinea pig.
I like that. Now, What is one of the most difficult parts of effective change? You know, because some people struggle in different areas. So, but what is the hardest or the most difficult part of permanent change in us, in our relationship? You know, I mean, is it ourselves that gets in the way?
Sure. the biggest difficulty with change is we won't tell ourselves the truth about why we don't want to change. Because we must face our resistance first. First thing we always do in workshops is go, okay, everyone's here and says that they really want to change. Let's find out why you don't. Let's look at that first thing so we can get over that hurdle, so we can get to the part of you that is afraid of change. We can make it safe so that you can do it, and now let's look at change. The biggest resistance to change is the resistance to change itself, because change is going to throw you into a crisis. Here's a secret, a very little known secret.
Okay.
Crisis precedes and follows all change, which means you're in a crisis, and by force of that crisis, you will change. And now you're different, so you're going to be in crisis again because you don't know how to be in the world, being the person you are. And it's why so many people work hard to change and then end up back the same, because they really did make the change, but now they're different in the world, and they don't know how to be different in the world, so they get scared, and they go back to their last place of comfort, even if that place of comfort is pain. It's a law of a biology. All living forces go back to their last place of comfort, of knowingness, of understanding. If it happens to be pain, then that's where you go back to, unless you're conscious of that and say no. See, we're so incredibly powerful. We can change at any age, at any time. My oldest client right now is 88 years old. Anytime we want, we can change. You just have to have the courage to do it. I just have to have the courage to do it. That's how it works. And that's why it's so much better to do it sitting at the kitchen table with your best friend or coming and doing a seminar, because you have people to support you when you're scared down to your toes.
Right. Now, when you started this book, I mean, I guess I want to know what really prompted you to write this book, and not only that, but to share your own personal experience. You know, I mean, some people, they share, but they don't share everything, you know. What prompted you to actually do such a thing? You know, I mean, to put yourself and put you know, your love out there, you know, because when we do that, to me, it's like a very vulnerable place, you know, that we're going.
Sure.
We step out there and we start to write our life, you know. So was there any type of life event or anything that prompted you, or what was your motivation behind becoming so vulnerable, writing this book and just putting everything out there for everyone, you know, because so many times people write books and then they're like, okay, this is what you ought to do, okay? All right, try to understand what I need to do, okay? But I need to be able to see that someone else has done this too and they've been successful at it. Then it gives me a little bit of hope. Okay, you know what, if you did it, then I can do it too. So I guess that's my question for you.
Well, I'm a huge believer in mentors. I've had one mentor for 35 years, and I added a second one about 7 years ago. So I have two mentors that I talk to, one or the other, every single week of my life. Because I believe that if I'm not ever-changing, ever-growing, what right do I have to take the caringness of you in private sessions, intensives, or workshops? What right do I have to say to you, I need for you to trust me right now if I don't trust myself and if I don't trust you with myself?
Right.
So if I'm not willing to be authentic, if I'm not willing to be vulnerable, if I'm not willing to show you that I can fall on my face and get up, and that I can, here it comes, that I can be brilliant and not apologize. See, lots of us will show the parts of us that fall on our face and get up. I mean, we have a whole country based on heroes that were martyrs.
Right.
But
right.
Will I show you when I do that, but will I also show you my brilliance and not apologize for it? And my work with my mentors in the last few years have been, will I stop apologizing for how good I am at what I do and how much I love you? Will I stop apologizing for that? So what I did in this book is I showed you me. This is who I am. And some of it is absolutely brilliant, and some of it's still stuck in the mud, because I'm a complex human being just like anybody is. And in my mind, I must walk the walk if I am going to have the privilege and the honor of working with you. I must be every bit as courageous as you are.
Right, right. And I believe that that is, that's what will draw people to you, is because they see that you're very authentic and you're very real. And I think that's what people want to see, is realness in people today. You know, we see all this fake stuff on television. It's good to, you know, knowing that there's some real individuals out here in the world. But your book also has, it has a transformational model in Get Love. But how do that apply, like what I touched a little bit of it maybe a few moments ago, but how does that apply to other relationships, just not maybe just love? Maybe someone has love already together, you know, and they have found that love and they work in that. But they may have problems with relationships with their siblings, or maybe a neighbor or a coworker. How does that process help us with those relationships? Even though we don't live because, with these people, you know, but we still got to be around.
Sure. Sure. Because you can change any belief you have. If you're having trouble with coworkers and you hate going into work, then you need to take a look at, do you believe that getting money should be a struggle? Do you believe that it's a payment for having money? Do you believe that money is the root of all evil? What is it about money? What is it about the safety of your workplace? What is it about your belief in what you deserve? Do you believe you deserve all the goodness, truth, and beauty that the universe has to answer? The book could have just as easily been titled, rather than Get Love, How to Transform Your Love Life, it could have just as easily been How to Transform Your Life, because our right. beliefs are based, our life is based on our beliefs. And see, here's the news. We've known that for 30 years, but no one's told us how to do it. No one's told us how to do it. They're writing brilliant books now on the biochemistry of that. Well, I think that's wonderful, and I happen to think that The Honeymoon Effect is a really wonderful book, but he still didn't tell me how to do it.
Right.
And what Get Love does, it shows you how to do it. It breaks it down in such a way that you and I, we do not have to have PhDs in biochemistry and in psychology. We can sit down and really do the work. See, we have to be willing to really change. The work's not arduous. It's much more arduous to get over another broken relationship. It's much more arduous to be home another Friday night by yourself, or looking at the ceiling and crying yourself to sleep. Or, here's a real horror, being in a relationship with someone that you have nothing in common with and nothing to say to them, and you're going to stay because this is as good as you deserve. Those things are all based on what you believe about life and yourself. It is certainly about your thinking, certainly about your feelings, certainly about your attitude, but all of those are just the branches and the leaves on the tree. The root is your belief. And if you don't change the belief, no matter how you trim your tree, it's going to grow back just the way it always was.
Wow. Now, some women that I speak with on a regular basis, you know, some of them feel that, you know, they don't have time. I know myself, you know, I started going through my own transformation. And then I was like, I was approached with something and I was like, okay, should I pursue this or not? You know, and then, you know, my daughter was like, well, Mom, you ought to just, you know, you need to get back out there, you know, you need to date or whatever. And I was like, you know what, I really don't have time for it, you know, because it took me so long to discover my true purpose in life, and now that I'm living it, I'm like, okay, do I really want to put that on back burner to pursue any other relationship, you know? So what do you say to us women that are in that exact same situation, that we find ourselves a little bit too busy to actually get love and pursue it?
Then don't pursue a relationship. It's real easy. Relationships take time and energy. Right now, my life is so full. I'm literally traveling the world. I just got back from Bali and Hong Kong. I'm on the way tomorrow morning to L.A., New York, San Francisco. My life is so filled. I am happier than I've ever been, and there's no man in sight, and I'm not looking. I don't have the time. I don't want to have the time. Now,
right.
Everything can change on a dime if I sit next to a guy on an airport and I go, oh, my God, and he goes, oh, my God. Then you rearrange things. If you don't have the time, then don't pretend you do. Now, if you want to make the time, that's a totally different story. But here's something really important to know. Unless you have fallen in love with yourself, please don't attempt a relationship, because you're Swiss cheese. Any love anyone sends in will go out the other side. You must have fallen in love with yourself to truly create a good relationship, the type of relationship we've always dreamed of. If you want the love of your life, then you start with yourself being your love of your life. And I'm not talking about narcissism. I'm not talking about arrogance. I'm not talking about superiority. I'm talking about really tending yourself, caring for yourself, taking the time to know for yourself, know what pleasure is for you, know what security is for you, really care for yourself, really get intimate with yourself, open and close and trusting and tender. Do those things with yourself. Then you will set a resonance. It's called presence magic. When a person who loves themselves walk in the room, they don't do a lot of bravo and look at me. They just walk in the room quietly and everyone goes, whoa, what's different about that person? I want to be near that person. Of course you do. You want to be near someone who radiates love, and it starts with loving yourself. And no one teaches us that. No one teaches us that we must have a profound love for ourselves before we can even begin to put our toe into the pool of finding the love of our lives. And that's where it starts. And so if you're busy loving your life, then love it more and love it deeper and find out why you love your life and find out how you're getting the joy and the pleasure and the caring and the knowing and the tenderness and the openness. Find out what those things are. Take the time at night just to think about, one, how am I more open in the world? How is it I'm letting more joy in? How is it that I'm meeting my own needs and I feel so empowered by that? How is it that I have created myself with a spiritual or blood family around me that really know me, that I really reveal myself to? I have never been happier. I have never been more successful. When you can say that to yourself, then it's time to look for a relationship, if indeed you want one. And here's another myth. A third of the world never wants a relationship. We're just conned by Madison Avenue into believing we better want a relationship or there's something wrong with us. And another third of the world wants a relationship that is forever. And then a third of the world wants consecutive relationships, which means I'm going to love you until I don't. And when I don't, I'm going to honor you and myself by stepping out of this relationship, and then I'm going to do another one. Now, that doesn't mean hopping beds. It doesn't mean being in a relationship for every third month, because your relationship might last 20 years and then it's time for a new one. It's totally, totally up to you on how that works. And here's a wonderful thing to know. You are willing to do that if you love yourself, because if you love yourself, you honor yourself. And isn't that just brilliant?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Wow. That is, that. Everything which you spoke is just so very true. And, you know, your book was so uplifting and inspiring, you know, that it helped me to look at myself in the different areas of my life. And I believe that there are times that we have to confront those demons, you know, and, you know, just deal with it so that we can have healthy relationships with everyone, just not just in love, but, you know, with, you know, coworkers and people outside. But we're just shy under 2 minutes, Kimberly. So I just wanted to just share one final thought with our audience before we leave this evening.
Be willing to tell yourself the truth about what you really want. If you don't have time for a relationship, if that's what you tell everyone, then you really don't want one. If you're saying that out of fear, then you don't believe you can have one. Whatever is true for you, take the time to really find out what's true. The wonderful thing about Get Love, it's a single book. You can read it in the bathtub, for goodness sakes, and you can then challenge yourself, what is really true for myself? And what I wish for you most of all is love. And it absolutely needs to start with ourselves. We need to adore ourselves and be that loving in the world, because you cannot give what you do not have. So if you do not have self-love, how are you going to give really pure, beautiful, radiant love out to the world? So what I wish for you the most is love.
All right. Well, tell us where we can get your book, though, Kimberly, because, I mean, it's an awesome book, so please get a copy of Kimberly Hart's book. So just tell us where we can get your book at, Kimberly.
You can get it at getlove.com, which is my website, or you can get it on Amazon. Just put Get Love in, and it'll pop up.
All right.
You don't need to remember my name. Just remember Get Love.
All right. That is incredible. And I just thank you so much, Kimberly, for coming on and sharing your experience and your knowledge with us. And you have truly enlightened us. And I just want to say thank you for your time. But we're out of time right now. But you can go on my website. You can download this interview with Kimberly Hart. If you do not have a copy, please get a copy of Get Love, How to Transform Your Love Life. It will transform your life in every aspect if you do the work and you put in the work. So thank you so much, Kimberly, for your time this evening, and safe travels to your next destination, and I look forward to having you back on the platform for part two of this interview.
Thank you so much.
Okay, good night, everyone. I'll see you next Wednesday, same time at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.